Geraldine Brooks, People of the Book, 2008. Not long after the United States invaded Iraq, our local newspaper printed a photograph I cannot forget. It showed an Iraqi man hurrying away from the library of Baghdad through a smoky, chaotic street, his arms filled, overfilled, burdened down with books. The books, some of them large and heavy, like art books or old records of some kind, may have been rare treasures, or they may have been merely whatever he could gather up in the confusion of the burning building. He may have been a librarian, or he may have been only a reader. I know he was not a looter, because his face showed not only distress and fear, but passionate grief. As soon as I knew it was the story of a book saved from the destruction of a library, I wanted to read Geraldine Brooks's People of the Book. An irresistible subject, given urgency by its timeliness and poignance by its paradoxicality, for the novel is based on the true story of an ancient Jewish codex saved from the fire by a Muslim librarian. The Sarajevo Haggadah, pride and glory of the Bosnian collection, was spirited out of the library and hidden in a bank vault when the Serbs began to target the libraries and museums of Sarajevo in their shelling. But that was its second rescue. A half century earlier, it had been slipped out from under the noses of the Nazis and hidden in a village mosque for the duration. In 1941, it was saved by an Islamic scholar, Dervis Korkut. In 1992, by a Muslim librarian, Enver Imamovic. A little later, one of Imamovic's colleagues, trying to carry books away from the burning library, like the Iraqi in the photograph I cannot forget, was killed by a sniper. Her name was Aida Butarovic. The Sarajevo Haggadah is very unusual among Jewish holy books in having illustrations, like a Christian Book of Hours. These are of great delicacy and beauty. It was written and illuminated in Spain in the mid-14th century, but nothing of its early history is known. A priest spared it from the book burnings of the Inquisition in Venice in 1609 by writing in it, "Revisto per me," I have reviewed, approved this, and signing his name. Apparently, we know little or nothing of how it got from Venice to Bosnia, to undergo its two hairbreadth rescues in the 20th century. There is certainly a story there. And Geraldine Brooks, with her background covering wars and troubles in Europe, Africa, and the Middle East for the Wall Street Journal, her penchant for a broad historical canvas, and her Pulitzer Prize, would seem the right novelist for the job. Her performance will satisfy many readers. The tale is full of complex twists and turns, with even a bit of mystery plot towards the end. There's sex, a rather tenuous love story, and the obligatory descriptions of acts of violence. Proceeding ever farther back through the centuries, following the Codex through real and imagined vicissitudes to its origin, the alternate chapters bring in a large cast of historical characters. The central story, however, moves forward in time and concerns a contemporary Australian expert in rare books, a smart sophisticate named Hannah Heath. She is brought over to Sarajevo to analyze the fictional Haggadah and falls for the fictional librarian who rescued it. We follow the adventures of the book back through five centuries, alternately with pursuing Hannah's professional duties, her difficulties with an unloving mother, her discovery of her own unexpected ethnic heritage. The story sprawls, but it is all firmly planned and plotted, possibly too firmly. Hannah's chapters, told in the first person, are full of dialogue and written in a sprightly, crisp, journalistic style, thoroughly readable and serviceable, if without distinction or aesthetic quality as prose. Unfortunately, this self-confident sureness of touch vanishes with the first step back in time to Yugoslavia in 1940, where the protagonist is a Jewish girl who joins the partisans. the style gets clunkier. The grinding of axes can be heard. By the time we are in Barcelona in 1492, dialogue has descended to the level of Bulwer Lytton. I know not what it is you imagine that I have done. And narration has become that heavy mixture of useful information with predictable behavior and generalized description which weighs down so many historical novels like stones in the pocket of a coat. Full of action but with no leavening of humor, no psychological revelations, no vivid language to focus description, the chapters grind on. Most unhappily for an historical novel, there is little sensitivity to the local color of thought and emotion, not enough of the openness to human difference that brings the past alive. Brooks expends a good deal of anxious effort trying to bring a modern sense of justice and ethical judgment into places and ages where it is an anachronism. People call such anxiety political correctness, a term that once had meaning but now usually reflects only a reactionary sneer. Brooks's earnest goodwill deserves respect, but the fact is, a novel can get away with anachronism only when it is completely invisible, and her efforts to right old wrongs are only too visible. In the same way, a kindly feminism informs her efforts to invent women who were important to the creation and existence of the precious book. That's a tall order among the old rabbis, but she persists. And so we find that the artist of the lovely illuminations was a woman, and a black one at that. This is not in itself impossible. The explanations are plausible. I'd like to believe it, but I can't. The person, the artist, the world of the artist, have not been made real enough to allow me to believe it. It's just wishful thinking. It has not taken on the fierce reality of true fiction. So in the end, I wonder whether this might not have been a better book if, forswearing invention, the author, an experienced journalist, had simply followed the true and amazing story of the Sarajevo Haggadah. I wish someone could make a story or a poem of Aida Buturovich's life and death, for I know I will never know the story of the Iraqi with his arms full of books and his face full of anguish.